performing designers does it take to change a light bulb?
No idea.
Depends on the font size.
It was funny. Hello and welcome back to the new episode of What the Design. I'm Raj Kaur and I'm here with my co-host Debo Smita. And today we'll be discussing about
navigating a career in design. We'll be talking about the opportunities, the challenges, and the essential skills required to kickstart your career as a designer in this very competitive market.
Talking about a competitive market, I feel like the demand of design professions has been increasing in the last few years.
Absolutely.
A lot of these industries have been understanding how important it is for designers to be in the companies or be in the industry, be whatever industry, be it, you know, starting from tech companies to sports industries,
yes.
Every industry needs a designer. And design is no longer a very traditional, profession,
mm-hmm.
like fashion designer or interior designer. There are a lot more upcoming design roles and design professions. One of the recent examples that I can give you is brand designer. The brand designer makes sure that your brand is consistent across all the platforms,
yes.
as well as across all, like, for many years the brand has to be consistent over the years. So these designers and design professions are increasing, and there are a lot of opportunities out there for us as designers.
Absolutely. So, I was reading this quote by designer Massimo Vignelli, and it's something very interesting. He says that styles come and go. Good design is a language, not a style.
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
And I feel that today's designs and designers are conscious enough and understand that we have a sense of responsibility,
mm-hmm.
both ecological and environmental responsibility, while we are creating any sort of new product or service. But it's not just limited to the environmental sustainability, but it also goes across to realizing that we have a sense of social sustainability as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think industries across the market are recognizing the importance of inclusivity and equity while they're designing or creating something new. So that every person of their target, like of the target customer base, can use that product regardless of their background or their abilities. It's creating a more inclusive environment.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also with increase in technology over the years, I feel like companies and businesses are trying to, or they have understood how important it is to place a user in the center of the universe.
Yeah.
The whole product or the experience that they or services that they're providing,
yeah.
should be centered for the user,
mm-hmm.
their
yes.
needs and why do they need it, what they need it for. And as I mentioned this prior also, designers help to bridge the gap,
yes.
between the consumer and the company or the services. So as a design profession, it's we basically kind of create a seamless experience for,
yeah.
all of this. And we understand the importance of research.
Yeah.
We understand the importance of putting that research into play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not,
yeah.
just about the back end. It's,
yeah.
also about how do you put it in the whole design or the, aspect of it. And as I mentioned prior also, designers, it's not only about these cutting edge or one kind of professions. It's,
mm-hmm.
also about increasing the number of opportunities in the industry, be it about even engineer designers or product designers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in the industry is trying to innovate different kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Industries are also expanding in terms of, they understand the importance of websites, they understand the importance,
mm-hmm.
of mobile apps. So all of these also have a lot of opportunities for designers.
Yeah. But I think that what we are essentially doing with all of these things that you have listed is we are centering the user's needs and wants,
mm-hmm.
and we are making sure that all of these products and these services are centered around them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is regardless of any sense of, any source of innovation, to what you said, that we are bridging the gap between the users and the stakeholders to create create a meaningful experience for every person that is, like, you know, affected by that product or that service, so to
say. Right.
And something that is very interesting, a quote that I read in an article written by Lorenzo Bellucci, mm-hmm. he said that the biggest design innovations compound. They are a build-up.
Right.
You don't go from 0 to 100 overnight. Instead, it's about taking 100 tiny 0 to 1 steps.
Right.
So every day, it's like a small, you know, as you said, like we research, we design, we test. All of those small steps in the whole design process compound to a bigger creation that we need.
It's like pushing boundaries, taking those risks,
absolutely,
and then applying it.
Absolutely.
So I understand, like, it's also like, you know, challenging yourself on a daily basis.
Yes.
Every day you have a new challenge.
Yeah.
And every day you need to come over that challenge so that something new comes up the next day.
Your designs can challenge what is already established as a standard design norm in the industry. Because just because something is the standard doesn't mean that it has to be done over and over again. Like,
right.
new innovations only happen when somebody challenges the normal status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just be experimental sometimes as well.
So a lot of times I get asked this question by parents whose students or children are interested in design. That which design course is more interesting, or which design course should my child take, or which is the best design industry to go into. In my opinion, I feel like it was never about which course is a good course or which industry of design is a good industry. It's about the skill set. I feel like every individual as a designer, because we come from a creative headspace,
mm-hmm.
it's all about the individual you know, capabilities. It's all about how do you pursue that particular industry, or how do you pursue that particular course. That is very important.
I think we also have to understand that since it's a creative field, it's very different from the traditional fields of study like engineering and medicine. It's not like, you know, you go in, you have this very, like, you know, set course and syllabus that you do, and then you sort of get this learning and then you have this degree in your hand.
Right.
It's not like that. As you said, like, it's very dependent on the person who's practicing it. It's a vocational course. It's a vocational career. It's a very practice-based industry.
It's not a mathematical equation.
Exactly. It's not. So the more you practice, the more you try to learn new things also.
Right.
Engage with the research that is out there, design practices, design trends that are out there, people are working around them. It just enhances your skills and your understanding as a designer, and place, like, allows you to be a better designer in the industry as well.
Right. And I feel like every design course, be it fashion design, be it interior design, be it knitwear design, be it experience design,
mm-hmm.
be it design innovation, all of these have set challenges.
Yeah.
Each of them have different challenges. Nowhere is it going to be, you know, this is an easy course. Nowhere is it going to be, oh, this is a very tough course.
Yeah.
It's based on how do you pursue it? How do you take that particular course to be for you? And where do you apply your skill set?
Every field, whatever you mentioned, like, all of them have their own opportunities and their own challenges,
right.
so to say. Like, that, again, to what you said, depends on how I perceive it as a person and how do I take it in stride, and how eager am I to challenge myself to succeed in that industry,
right.
in that particular avenue. So it would be very harsh for us as designers to say that, okay, this is what is the best way to take
right.
we as a designer. Right?
Genuinely cannot discriminate between any of the
courses. That's true. So I think that the only constant in this scenario is that you have to realize that design is going to be there. It has changed its form. Even designers in the past have upskilled themselves to be relevant in today's industry.
Mm.
And we will have to do the same when our time comes, when there is like incredible innovation and radical changes happening in the industry. We'll have to upskill ourselves in that way.
Right. Adding on to this, it's very important as, like, you know, young professionals or young designers for us to, as she said, like, it's very important for us to upskill, keep on realizing or keep updating yourself to the trends that are going on. Keep updating yourself to what, you know, we have, what is going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where can you apply your design skills? Because especially in the current market or current times, the times are changing very fast. It's a very fast-paced world. So we also have to, I know it's tough sometimes, but we have to keep ourselves updated. And usually who keeps themselves updated the most is the one who's going to be the winner in the game. In terms of, like, you know, career prospects, would you think, like, both of us have just about to finish our masters?
Yeah.
And what do you think is the career of a designer right now? How is the market right now?
So I think as of now, we are seeing like a lot of UX coming up and a lot of experienced design jobs out there in the world. There's a lot of focus on technology and things related to digitalization in a way. But just because that sort of innovation and that sort of, how do you say, like, career focus is happening, doesn't mean that we have to be disheartened if you are in a very different field.
Right. This is a very important point. I feel like design, so every industry that you are in or every career prospect that you have has its time.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I would have seen, like, you know, 5 years or 10 years back, graphic designers were the most booming industry at that point of time. So, but right now it's a little less. UI, UX designers are, you know, right now booming a lot. But that does not mean that the importance of graphic designers has gone down.
Yeah.
They are equally important. They
yes.
are there in the industry. There are a lot of graphic designing jobs going on. So for us, it is important to adapt sometimes. And because we come from a creative headspace, it's just about our creative mindset, and we just need to adapt to all of these, you know, minimal, small things that we can and when we can. So, but you should not, as she said prior also, you should not discourage yourself that, you know, I am a graphic designer and now is not the time for me. It is always a time for you if your skill set is very good and you keep updating yourself and be professional in that skill set.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I think that also sort of coincides with something that came to my mind, was about remote working and working in groups. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because you said that even though UX designers are the, like, you know, who have the most job opportunities out there in the world today, doesn't mean that graphic designers are not working. We very much are working hand in hand with graphic designers to create something meaningful, especially when it comes to brand designing. So I think that we also have to realize that as designers, we work with so many different people from so many different backgrounds. We have to be very adaptable and very sensitive, and I mean, to a certain degree, good with communications as well, because you are working in a group to create something innovative and new, right? And usually it's not something that just is like a solo activity. You come, again, what we said, you compound together these ideas to create something bigger than yourself.
We will be discussing about the skill sets required as a designer in the further part of this podcast.
Yeah.
Coming back to, you know, what are the challenges of design industry in the current market? So, considering today's market, I feel like globalization and remote work took a big hit.
Yeah.
So, after remote work became so popular in the industry, I feel like, you know, designers got an opportunity. It's like a good point also, or in the negative point also. Designers got an opportunity to be globally known. So, you can be a freelancer in an location and work for a company in a Y location. And do your job very easily. Of course, for some people, it became tough because you are in that location and you're not getting jobs sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's a good opportunity. If you are really good in your work, it really plays well for us.
Yeah. I think that also leads to the point that it's very critical to differentiate yourself in an industry where everybody is essentially doing the same thing as you are. So, either you have to differentiate yourself in the form of your style as a designer, or it can be your design approach, the way you strategize your project,
mm-hmm.
or it can be the niche interest area that you have that you would like to make a change in.
Right. I feel like, as she said prior also, like, it's very important to stand out in the crowded market, and that can happen through your different styles. It can happen through your talent, your skill set, and how you are applying both of this talent and skill set in your own way. So as she mentioned, Raiki, building your own style, it's kind of, you know, building your own brand, personalizing mm-hmm. your brand.
Yeah.
I think this word of personal branding is selling a lot these days.
Absolutely.
And it is very important, not just in design industry. Personal branding is very important in every industry, because it's not industry based, it's an individualistic approach.
Yes.
You need to know how to sell yourself in this world, be it whatever you're doing and however you're doing, your personal style. And it's not based on, you know, I don't think style is just based on how your graphic language is, how your color palette is. It's
mm-hmm.
based on how you are. It's
yeah.
based on your personality. It's based on what makes you different from all the thousands and million people out there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, because you mentioned personal branding, one of our next episodes might very well be about discussing more in depth about personal branding and how we as designers can utilize that to promote ourselves.
And making our portfolios, I feel.
Yes.
The biggest tool that we have.
Absolutely.
Also, like as she mentioned, it's in your work or in your portfolio, do highlight these parts of, you know,
yes.
personal branding and what your style is. Your portfolio or your website should reflect you, not just your work.
Yeah.
And in terms of, like, for example, I'll tell you, my style is not based on one particular, you know, graphic language or not particular color palette, but my style is my thought process, the approach
mm-hmm.
that I make. So it can, you know, your personal style can depend on what kind of work do you do, what kind of approach, what kind of design process you have.
Yeah.
You always can have different kinds of design processes. So that makes me unique. So find out what makes you unique in that case. And in this kind of process, what happens is, for example, for me, even though I have, I've worked with different industries, like I've worked with jewelry industry, I've worked with FMCG, I've worked with steel industries, and still I can put my design approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason I can stand out in different industries. Some friends of mine that I know have a specific graphic language and they focus on a particular industry, but that makes their niche.
Yes.
So that is also very important. You need to find your own niche. You need to basically excel in that niche and your market.
Yeah, I think that very sublimely leads us to the next important topic that we have, that is discussing the essential skills related to being a designer, right? And I think one of the key points, that is something that we discussed before as well, communication is key in the design industry. You have to work with so many different people who will have different understanding of what is design as well. So there is a lot of convincing, a lot of pleading, a lot of arguments that you have to do sometimes. But I mean, it's just something that every designer has to navigate. And you have to be very conscious about these things as well, not just in terms of dealing with stakeholders, but also when you're dealing with your users, because it becomes very essential when you are communicating with your users to get the right information out of them. That just makes communication the most key skill.
True. And communication does not just mean, you know, the verbal communication.
Yeah.
It also means your visual communication. Your portfolio needs to speak for yourself. When you're sending your portfolio, not just to, you know, apply for jobs, but for your clients or for your users, then, or in general your product, they need to relate to it. They need
mm-hmm.
to understand what that product is in without you sitting and explaining all of it.
Yeah.
And it should be very crisp. It should be easy language. Do not put jargon and, you know, try to add different dictionary words, because it makes it tough. Nobody is going to read all of these words and try and understand, oh, what does this word mean?
Adding to what you were saying, you have to understand that the very first person who sees your portfolio is the HR person sitting in the HR department. So it's not going to be a designer. So don't put jargon in. because you have to make your portfolio in such a way that regardless of anybody's education, they understand what you're trying to communicate.
Right. Yeah. And also, it's I know it is important for us to put these words like design principles and neo-minimalism is one of the upcoming parts. So these kind of words should be there in your portfolio, but that's not the only thing that should be in your portfolio.
Yeah.
Because again, a layman would not understand these words. They won't understand what kind of trend that is. You need to explain it in easier language for everyone to understand it. And this is not just based on your HR. It's also like if you're working with a client, they're not going to understand what kind of trend you're trying to put, you know.
Yeah.
Explain why you're doing it rather than what you're doing. Because that why is something that will answer their questions. And that will make them convinced that, okay, this product or this service or this kind of design is for me and I'm going to go forward with it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, remember, it's not just, you know, about speaking jargon like kerning and leading. You really need to communicate your ideas effectively and, again, mentioning it again, but make it crisp. It's very important to be crisp.
Add to sort of that leads to my next point, that would be that design is a team sport. Right?
Very much is. And I think all of us as designers have learned it the hard way.
Yes.
I hope you guys don't learn it the hard way and this would be an easier way to understand. I know sometimes, you know, it's we as designers, being the creative head, sometimes try and hide our projects and, you know, we're not ready to share. Oh, this was my project. We're not ready to share the knowledge.
I think it's rather than share, it's not about sharing the knowledge. It's more like, oh, that person will steal my work.
Right.
Like,
so don't be afraid of stealing because that's your brain. Nobody can steal that brain from you.
Yeah.
So even if they steal that project from you for a bit, you're going to come up with 1,000 new ideas and they're going to be 10 times better. How many times are they going to steal? So be open with your team. Let your thoughts out. Be opinionated. Talk about whatever you feel, because sometimes a very random thought leads to a bigger project.
Absolutely. And I think when you are working with these cross-functional teams, brainstorming together, ideating together, that leads to like creating one of the most important things, right? That leads to sort of ideating and identifying that key factor that can make your product stand out in the market.
A lot of our eureka moments have happened with our discussion.
Absolutely.
Like we have sat for hours and nights brainstorming about very random things. Some did not work out. Some obviously are in progress. So I feel like it's not just, and keep, you know, you need to meet new people, you need to network.
Yeah.
One of the very key essential skill for a designer. And you need to keep brainstorming with new people so that new ideas come to you also.
Absolutely. Networking is very important because, again, it's a creative industry, so it's very much also based on word of mouth to a certain degree.
Right.
So networking gives you the opportunity to also learn from other people,
mm-hmm.
but also identify like where can you be, like find your place in the niche area that you want to be working in. Just allows you to, like, you know, just find yourself as a person as well, because it's a very diverse and very competitive market. That's something that really
and network in every industry, you know, also every age group. Don't just like, you know, stick to, oh, my college friends or, you know, my college professors. There are people out there that are, you know, from different positions in the world and that can help you understand what's going on in the world. It's very important for us as designers to understand what is going on so that we can find the gap and find the solutions to it.
Like online workshops and all of these online events is like a very good way to network with a lot of people.
True.
Because, I mean, again, as you said, like geographical locations and differences like that, that is something that you, like these events don't act as a barrier because you can just communicate with somebody in a very different country than yours. And you can see like what is somebody in country A or B discussing while you're sitting in C. Are your thoughts similar to each other or are they very different? And if it's different, then how is it different? that is something that can help you grow as a designer as well.
That also can be very helpful. For example, like, you know, if you are in a very developed, underdeveloped country,
mm-hmm.
and there is this kind of occasion or a networking event happening in a very developed country, it can help you understand what kind of situations are they having or what kind of solutions did they have for their country to apply it in your country.
Absolutely.
This is a bigger example that I'm giving, but yes, it does apply. Or on a smaller scale, like, you know, a packaging trend that is going on in your country may differ from a packaging trend in the other country.
Yes.
But you can pick it up from there and then apply it, because then it can open a newer market in your location or in your region. Also, as she mentioned, like, there are online networking events. I'm a person of, you know, face-to-face. Like, I'm very confident when it's face-to-face. So I feel like you should always also approach for these events that are offline. You should go and meet people. There are a lot, especially in countries like where we are right now in London, or in even in India, it's a very open market right now for all of these kinds of events. There are fun events also. And, you know, you just go, you talk to people, you network, and post that, keep them connected. Like, you know, stay connected with them through LinkedIn, through Instagram. There are a lot of social media sites. But it is very helpful in that case, because maybe right now that person will not help you in any other way, but in future, maybe they can help. Maybe you start a business altogether with them.
Yeah, might just so happen.
Yeah. So, yes, it is very important. Other than that, I feel like even these online learning apps, they help us a lot. There's a lot of skill building happening through them.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, that you need to learn from your industry. Oh, this is one point that I've wanted to say in the previous one also. As a designer, especially if you're thinking about starting your own business or being an entrepreneur, it's very important for you to understand the financial aspects of it also.
Definitely.
Because business is not just about creative head. If you just focus on creating, you forget the business aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then you might just go in losses. So so financial part of it is very important. So,
yeah.
You know, these online learning courses like Domestika or Coursera or LinkedIn has helped me a lot to do different kind of, like, I learned a lot of design thinking processes and entrepreneurs and business processes through Domestika courses, and that helped me a lot. Through I was learning that in during lockdown, and I learned a lot during that time.
I think even I did like a lot of IDF courses, that is Interaction Design Foundation, and also LinkedIn. But I think to what we were discussing before about community building and like, you know, just networking and things like that, these online sites also have learning communities available within these,
right, true. Yes.
Yeah, within these sites. And they are like very, I would say very increasingly are also meeting every day, like not every day, but every weekend, every month or something like that. And you can communicate with these people, you can network with them. Again, helps you to grow as a designer and learn new things. Yeah.
Right. And also there are different platforms. I think most of the designers know this, but this is for the young students who want to get into design. Platforms like Behance, Pinterest, what else is there? Medium.
Yeah.
Get used to these platforms. Be active on these platforms. Dribbble is there. I think Medium is a very, very good website. You get a lot of information about, you know, the current trends, current market, what different industries are doing, what design is doing for different industries.
Very good case studies, I would say.
A lot of case studies. And yes, a lot of people or designers think that we're not needing to read a lot, or a lot of our parents have always said, like, you know, you should read. And trust me, it's a very good advice. And I'm not asking you to read, you know,
yeah,
through every paper or through every research paper. But yes, skim through researches, like even through Medium, skim through it. Just pick up few words, pick up few lines. A lot of knowledge comes from it. Your thinking process, you know, becomes much better in that case. and you get inspired all together from all of
this.
Absolutely.
I think, I mean, going through the whole book really helps, but I mean, if you can't do that,
that's for readers out there.
I mean, if you can't do that, then skimming actually really works, because if you can identify the important points that are related to your work, and if you can utilize that to sort of like, I mean, fund your work in a way, I mean, why not do that?
True. So coming to almost the end of our podcast, we also wanted to just touch this topic of professional growth and advancement. How, you know, like specializing in the niche market is important as designers.
Leads me to a very important quote, something that I read, which was very interesting. So Imran Ahmed of Business of Fashion, like it's one of the leading fashion related websites out there, said that we are moving away from this idea of trends and more moving toward this idea of trends. And I think it is not just limited to fashion. We are seeing this happening across the industry, where people are realizing and identifying their unique interest areas and building on that to, you know, create something new.
Right.
Again, like, it's something that comes very, it's not something that just strikes you one day and very early on in your career. You will go through the foundation years of your courses, and maybe even after you finish your bachelor's, you will be thinking about that, is this really something I want to do? Do I want to do something different? But eventually, with, again, like, just experience, I think, to a certain degree, you will realize what is your interest area.
Right.
And you can just hone on that particular skill set or that specialization area and just be better at it.
Right, and I feel like as design students, we are given a very good opportunity for us to have the foundation year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
like in every design course, the first year is known as the foundation year, where you get to, you know, touch every aspect of design, be it fashion design, be it graphic design, be it knitwear design, or something else altogether. So that kind of helps to for you to understand where your interest lies.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more easier for you also to find your belonging.
Yeah. And I think that when you as a designer sort of understand and, like, you know, build on these things, you can also very quickly translate that onto your product and your service.
Mm-hmm.
And that very easily can just, it can be very supportive to form a loyalty base within the consumer market that you have. And they can be, again, like, what we were talking about in the last episode as well, about customer trust and loyalty. These sort of like niche interest areas and specializations really help to that.
Right, they do. And I feel like now we come to the last point of our podcast.
Yeah.
How do we as designers handle rejection?
Very badly.
Yeah, we have in the past. I feel like all of us as young designers, young students, it's very tough for us to, you know, get out of that phase of rejection.
Yeah.
We take it very personally because, again, coming from the creative headspace, it's very personal to us. But as designer, we need to understand the difference, what makes us different as a designer and an artist.
Definitely. I think, like, talking about taking something personally, when I first started in one of my design consultancies, and, you know, I was talking to a senior and he gave me a task, and I thought I put my best foot forward when I went ahead with it, and he said, is this the final thing?
Yeah.
And in my head I was like, this is the final thing. I was like, no, I'm making more change to it, like, why?
It's like they want us to push the boundaries, and sometimes they don't tell it in a good way.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
We have all been there, but I feel like rejection is the bread of every designer.
Absolutely.
We need to embrace it.
I think that fuels us also.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. We need to embrace it. We need to learn from it. We need, as she mentioned, we need to use it as a fuel to ignite that creativity in us and push our boundaries. So it kind of helps us to push our boundaries. It's also like, don't take it very personally. This is one of the best advice that I can give you, because design, when you're designing, you're not designing for yourself.
Absolutely.
You're not a painter who's painting for themselves. You're a designer who's designing for the industry out there, for the consumers to consume, and somebody out there, not you. So you need to perfect it for them. You need to make sure that they use it really well, and it's very easy for them to, you know, use it or go through that service or anything. So don't take, like, again, don't take it personally.
And rarely anybody gets it right in the first go.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
sometimes we have to, you know, try our level best every time. You have to keep doing it.
And I think that one point that something like very interesting is there is a lot of other websites out there where you can reach out to other mentors and designers as well, so that you can get feedback on your work. Right. I think ADP List is one of the sites that I have used, and it was really helpful for me as a designer to sort of get a direction in where I was going, where I was headed to in my design career, and what did I want to get out of it. So like use these platforms to get a direction, get a feedback on your work as well. It can be harsh, it can be good, but you just have to be ready for it. Yeah.
Adding on to all of these, now before we wrap up our podcast, we really like to share a few resources that we feel are really good and we have used it for you guys to, like, you know, you want to go ahead?
Absolutely. So I think that Steal Like an Artist, Show Your Work and Keep Going by Austin Kleon. These three books, I think one of my friends suggested it to me, and these have been really helpful because I keep going back to them again and again.
Right.
Because these books have just sort of help you understand how you can beat your imposter syndrome, because mm-hmm. that is something that every designer faces, and it just also fuels you to, like, again, show your work, put your work out there. And just Design of Everyday Things by Don Norman.
It is a very important book. I feel like Design of Everyday Things is one book that every designer should read, even if you don't read any other book. Like, that book has, like, it's a referral. It's kind of a Bible for designers. No matter what, you keep going back to that book. You take a lot of inspiration from that book. It's a classic.
Absolutely. The Bible.
Also, there's this one group on LinkedIn that I have been using, is The Design Thinking. And this group really, like, they just keep posting about new design concepts, new design trends, but in a very easy manner. Sometimes there's just mind maps, and you can reach out to a lot of designers on that platform.
Absolutely.
As she prior mentioned, that it's very easier for us also to connect with them and just take some advice, or just show your projects to them and ask them how they feel about it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and that's the end of our episode today, and hope to see you guys soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.